This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, Jack McKenna speaking. It's Tuesday, November 28th, 1950. 22 shopping days left before Christmas. And don't forget to buy your fair share of Christmas seals. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has the sports. And we've got some great music just for you.
That 22 shopping days before the Christmas countdown always unnerves me.
A haunting reminder of how fast time goes?
More like a haunting reminder that I have to figure out what to get Harriet for Christmas.
I notice you don't agonize over my gift. Lou gets me a nut log every year.
Kind of fitting.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Ross Upholstery Living Room Suites, covered as low as $95 at Ross Upholstery. 1419 Belknap and Superior. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Two people are dead in a shooting in Superior. But first, United Nations forces are facing an entire new war with Red China. We begin our world report from occupied Japan.
This is Tokyo, Hal Boyle, Associated Press. General Douglas MacArthur warned today that the non-communist United Nations face an entire new war with the Red Chinese hordes crushing down on his retreating troops in Korea. He says also in an extraordinary communique that he lacked authority to cope with the undeclared Chinese belligerents who now build their massive offenses with immunity from Allied air attack in Manchuria. The commander of troops representing 53 non-communist nations is speaking out at a time of gravest crisis. His cosmopolitan 8th Army of 110,000 battle-hardened troops is in retreat all along a flaming 75-mile front in northwest Korea. His hope of ending the war by Christmas is a shattered dream. His end-the-war offensive, launched only 5 days ago, has turned into bitter reverses. MacArthur summoned his top two field commanders, Lieutenant General Walton H. Walker and Major General Edward M. Almond, from the battlefronts to Tokyo for emergency conferences. The high command says Red China has hurled 200,000 troops against UN forces in Korea, throwing thousands across the border from the privileged sanctuary of Manchuria. Field dispatches underscore the developing crisis. They say masses of night-fighting Chinese Reds are pouring through a widening gap in the 8th Army's right flank. This is in the Tokchon area, where fierce communist assaults threw back three South Korean divisions as much as 20 miles. Air observers report Chinese hordes swarming like locusts along every road, every gully, and every ridgeline for 35 miles north of Tokchon. Their goal is to cut off 9 Allied divisions, including the American 24th, the 2nd, the 25th, and 1st Cavalry. Other Allied troops in North Central and Northeast Korea face fresh masses of Chinese Reds. 21 Chinese Red divisions, 10,000 men each, are officially identified in the 60-mile strip between Allied forces and the Manchurian border. Other Chinese divisions are known to have crossed the border. Quoting General MacArthur, "This situation, repugnant as it may be, poses issues beyond the authority of the United Nations Military Council, issues which must find their solution within the councils of the United Nations and the chancelleries of the world." End quote. Military observers interpret MacArthur's statement to mean the Chinese should be stopped by political pressure if possible, or else MacArthur should be given authority to strike against the Chinese at their Manchurian bases. In Tokyo, this is Hal Boyle calling North Korea.
This is the frontline battle zone of Tokchon, Don White had reported. The disaster came so quickly that it will be weeks before the whole story of it is assembled. The blunt truth is, the army is being driven back by an enemy obviously much stronger than had been estimated in Korea. The biggest threat along the 75-mile line running from the Jeonju area to the Yellow Sea to the Tokchon sector is along the right flank. There, the fury of Chinese red attacks has crumbled three South Korean divisions. The divisions had retreated as much as 20 miles. Some units are surrounded. Three communist armies are trying to turn the right flank back toward Pyongyang, the former Red Korean capital, about 60 miles to the south. West of their positions, the U.S. 2nd and 25th Divisions fought off fierce communist attacks along the Chungcheon River area from Unmong to the point near Yongsan. But the Chinese Reds sweeping down from Taichung have captured Yongsan itself. The thrust is piercing deep gaps in the South Korean 1st Division on the American left flank. Farther west, the U.S. 24th Division, which withdrew from Jeonju, is fighting against strong Chinese Red Forces. In Tokchon Sector, this is AP reporter Don Whitehead.
This is AP Foreign Affairs Analyst DeWitt McKenzie in New York. The Moscow newspaper Pravda publishes an editorial calculated to give the impression that America and her Western allies, especially France and Britain, are at loggerheads in vital foreign issues. Policies relating to the Far East and German rearmament are emphasized. The editorial implies that a large and growing section of public opinion, especially in Britain and France, favors the adoption by their government of a policy of neutrality between America and Russia. Well, my observation is that this isn't a true bill, but it comes close enough to the truth to make an elegant piece of red propaganda. That's what the democracies lay themselves open to by arguing all their problems in public. And more power to that system of ironing out differences. We, the people, have a right to know what goes on in the governmental mind. British observers say America is more convinced of the approach of war with the Soviets than is England. Brits don't believe that war is imminent, but they are afraid the U.S. will precipitate it by fighting China. Britain, say these observers, doesn't think Uncle Sam is looking for war with China, but they're afraid events are taking shape that such a conflict might develop through Russia pushing China into it. In New York, this is DeWitt McKenzie.
South Carolina has been chosen as a site for a new hydrogen bomb plant. A congressional source said today that the Atomic Energy Commission and the E.I. DuPont Company have selected a large area along the Georgia border of South Carolina for an H-bomb making facility. The location includes Aiken and Barnwell counties, about 15 miles outside the town of Aiken, South Carolina, and about 20 miles east of Augusta, Georgia. The latest cost of living index, to be announced tomorrow, is expected to be at an all-time high. Since the war started in Korea in June, the index has climbed steadily. It's now understood to have passed the previous all-time high in September 1948. The advance may increase about 1 million union workers' wages, which are tied to the price barometer. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from Ross Upholstery.
Oh, indeed I do, Lou. Just listen to all this. Now is the time to have your furniture completely reupholstered and repaired for the coming holidays. Convenient terms, you can handle $15 down, can't you? And $10 monthly, that should be easy. Over 8,000 satisfied customers. Choice of hundreds of lovely fabrics. Hundreds of yards of materials on hand. So don't worry about them running out. Living room suites covered as low as $95. Home of high quality, custom-tailored furniture. That's what they are, folks. Ross Upholstery Company at 1419 Belknap. Get going now. It's almost Christmas time. Hey, Lou, how about that for a nice Christmas gift for Harriet?
$95 for a whole living room suite?
Sorry. Keep the nut logs rolling.
Two people are dead in a shooting in Superior. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has that story.
A murder and suicide occurred in an apartment building at 1206 Tower Avenue yesterday about 11:10 p.m. It happened at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Herman Haish. Murdered was 32-year-old Lucille Klingbeil of 1406 Broadway Street. She was killed by 38-year-old Russell Archie Westland of West Duluth. He then took his own life. According to the only eyewitness, Mrs. Ella Hatch, Mrs. Klingbeil had hot words with Westland before he killed her. The first shot fired at Mrs. Klingbeil apparently missed, while the second shot struck her in the upper left part of her body. She was rushed to St. Mary's Hospital but was dead upon arrival. Mrs. Klingbeil was the mother of three children, ages 6, 8, and 12. Police Chief Arthur Buchanan says Westland had been arrested for careless driving November 22nd, just 6 days ago, and was fined $28. More investigation being conducted at press time today by police officials and District Attorney Andy Borg. Lou?
8 Ashland County men and 7 from Bayfield County left this morning for induction into the armed forces. Chief Clerk Mildred Dormandy says most hail from Ashland and the town of Bayfield, but also they're from Cable, Iron River, Marengo, Highbridge, and Ulu. Mr. and Mrs. Thompson of East 3rd Street in Superior got news that their sailor son is stateside. Leroy Thompson of the U.S. Navy is back in San Diego after serving 5 months of combat duty in Korea. Thompson was aboard the attack transport USS Pickaway, part of the Pacific Fleet Amphibious Force, Jack.
Welcome home, safe and sound Seaman Thompson. Thanks, Lou. He's always so good at ending with good news stories.
Why are you talking about me as if I'm not here?
The forecast for this Tuesday evening, November 28th, 1950. Light snow flurries tonight and tomorrow, with not much change in temperature. Look for a low tonight of 16 and a high tomorrow of just 22 degrees. It's music time now. Here's Doris Day and her hit, It's Magic, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Doris Day and It's Magic on station KUWS. Friends, this winter get the warmth that pleases
for your hand-fired furnace with a master heat regulator from Northwestern Hanna Fuel Company in Superior. Or sit close to Doris Day. Yes, enjoy the comfort of automatic heat with your present hand-fired furnace, hot air or hot water. Call tomorrow. Northwestern Hanna Fuel has several kinds of coal. Pocahontas, I thought she was an Indian. McCoy, Briquettes, Coke, Cavalier, and Grenadier. The variety makes Northwestern Hanna Fuel Company Lou's favorite place to Christmas shop for Harriet.
There's nothing wrong with practical gifts.
Here's a nice one from Lawrence Welk Orchestra and Shenandoah on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Shenandoah, I long to hear you away, you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you
Swelk and his Champagne Orchestra with Shenandoah on KUWS.
Let me introduce Superior Evening Telegram Managing Editor Clough Gates with tonight's editorial. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Lou. So often we try to stress good citizenship in our opinion pages. Tonight we're talking about a basic duty to keep our democracy vital. Sometime in 1951, Michigan voters will know whom they have elected governor. Democratic Governor G. Menon Williams and Republican former Governor Harry Kelly ran neck and neck. A recount will be necessary to determine the victor. Michiganders would be wrong to think that they have set a new mark for a close election. The record, not likely to be equaled, was established in Massachusetts in 1839. The victim was Governor Edward Everett, who later served as Senator, Secretary of State, and President of Harvard University. Everett was the formal orator at Gettysburg, whose long and studied speech was overshadowed by a two-minute utterance by Abraham Lincoln. Running on the Whig ticket, Everett lost to his Democratic opponent, Marcus Morton, by just one vote. This election proved the importance of perseverance, for Morton's triumph came on his 16th attempt to be elected. The Everett-Morton deadhead showed in supreme degree what the Michigan contest also illustrated, that individual votes are important. Those who believe in a candidate should not fail to work for him to the uttermost, including casting the one vote which might decide the outcome, Lou.
Evening Telegram Managing Editor Clough Gates.
So I hear you've got the holiday gift-giving jitters. Don't you have people who do that for you?
I've offered to help.
Comic book subscriptions only go so far.
I said I'd take you to a women's shop.
There's just something wrong about the two of us going together in a woman's shop.
Lou's kind of a prude, isn't he?
He gets squeamish in the lingerie department. He can't handle women's underwear.
I can, too. I mean,
when?
You know.
And with whom?
Ray's got sports after this musical selection.
Subtle. Here's one for Lou by Margaret Whiting and a wonderful guy on the Martin and McKenna shopping show.
I'm as corny as Kansas in August. I'm as normal as blueberry pie. No more a smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. Conventional dither with the conventional star in my eye, and you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as trite and as gay as a daisy, and may a cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon, happy night pouring light on the dew. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
No more a smart little girl with no heart. She has found her a wonderful guy.
With the conventional star in my eye, and you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as trite and as gay as a daisy, and may a cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon, happy night pouring light on the dew. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
Margaret Whiting and a wonderful guy for our own Lewis. And another wonderful guy is here. Say hello to Rapid Ray Paulson, folks. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. So, Lou's got his lingerie in a bundle over Christmas shopping, huh?
You know Lou.
Well, maybe we can help him out. We'll put our heads together. Hello, fans of the sporting world. The East High Old Towners are seeking their third cage victory in as many starts. But they have a formidable opponent tonight in the Proctor Rails on a foreign court. Proctor coach Hank Chapman will depend on the sure shooting of Floyd Anderson. He's sunk 50% of the buckets he's taken a shot at. And Wayne Johansson is a big scorer at center. Slated for action tonight for the East Orientals are Joe Arco, who has seen his shooting eye pay big dividends so far, and rangy sophomore center Pete Tierney. With deposed Cleveland Indians player-manager Lou Boudreau signed by Boston, Red Sox millionaire owner Tom Yawkey has his checkbook open for other deals. With the addition of Boudreau, that makes Fenway shortstop Vern Jr. Stevenson expendable as trade bait. But the hot rumor on the street, Dickering could lead to the most sensational deal in years. The Red Sox trading slugger Ted Williams. But they'll demand top-flight pitching, such as right-hander Bob Lemon or catcher Jim Hegan from the Indians. And remember, Teddy Baseball pulls down a cool $125,000 a year. Boxing. Sugar Ray Robinson is going prospecting for more money from the European circuit to pay his Christmas bills. The world welterweight champ knocked out French middleweight Gene Stock in the second round last night. And the Brown Bomber says
He'll be better this time around. The 36-year-old Joe Lewis lost badly to Ezzard Charles in his September comeback attempt. He fights 23-year-old Cesar Brion of Argentina tomorrow night at Chicago Stadium. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
Great job, Ray. Great job. And good luck, Orientals. Let's hear now Old Man River on the Martin and McKenna Show.
There's an old man called Mississippi. That's the old man that I want to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land ain't free?
William Warfield, what a voice, and the Old Man River on station KUWS.
Okay, Lou, we've decided we're all going to go downtown and do some Christmas shopping. Get it all done tonight.
I still can't see me in a dress shop.
As long as I don't see you in a dress.
There are jewelry shops, too.
They're kind of pricey.
But it's kind of hard to find the right gift for Harriet at the hardware store.
Or at the pro shop.
Or with Big Spender Lou at the coffee shop.
Harriet will appreciate not getting coal again this year.
Ah, you Romeo, you.
I was thinking of getting her thick socks to keep her toes warm. Unless that's too personal.
more personal than coal.
I remember when I was seeing Gert.
What's a Gert?
His girlfriend. Pretty big girl. She had to get special bowling shoes.
I got Gert the dream gift. Pickled herring, pickled gizzards, pickled beets. Ah, the works.
So why in the world did you two ever break up?
Well, let's just say the relationship kind of soured. Stay tuned now for Baby Snooks, Bob Hope, and Cavalcade of America. We'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is. And we keep Lou from spending all his time in the coal store. For Lou Martin and Ray Paulson, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night. But of course, guys, the good news is that I got to eat all of Gert's gift.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Joel Anderson, John Munson, Eric Olson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.